Hi, I'm Spicy Dicey.
And I'm Chantal Renee.
And we love sex and horror.
These are topics we love to write about as published authors.
I love all things spicy and dicey.
And I'm a big fan of sex and the sinister.
Thanks for joining us for some dark, twisted, sexy, uncensored fun as we discuss
sex and horror.
Hey, Chantal.
Good evening.
How's everything going?
Well, it's going.
Life has been coming at us fast.
Yes, it has. I think a lot of people are having some shit hit the fan this time of year.
Yeah. I have been sick for like 2 weeks.
That's crazy. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, this is actually better. Like, my voice is good. Every time I thought I was doing better, later that night is when I got worse again. So... unfortunately, I went to an event Friday. Hopefully, I didn't get anybody sick there. But I thought, oh, okay. I got up that morning. I started moving around, getting a whole lot of work done. And so I was like, oh, I'm good. But nah, later on that evening, I was back in the bed. And so my daughter's sick. My parents were sick. My parents came here. My dad is the one that brought it. He brought the virus with him. Yes.
But not COVID, just the sickness.
Well, they said it was a viral infection because he ended up in the ER. He's 70. My mom was sick too. And so they drove the whole way from North Carolina. They're back now. But he just had to extend his trip. It was the first time they've been here in a long time. But so I think everybody is on the mend now. But they just had viral infection, you say, COVID. He had a COVID test that was negative. So
yeah. That's been happening a lot. I mean, I don't know if we're all paranoid of COVID and we think it's COVID, or if it's just some form of, like, it's a COVID, but not, you know, not as powerful as the virus can be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how bad COVID is, because as far as I know, I never had it. I went through the whole pandemic not getting sick. But this was pretty bad. This is bad. I'm sorry, you're going to hear the mucus all in my throat. If I laugh, I start coughing. And you know, at our age, what happens when we laugh and cough, right?
Yeah. It's not pretty.
Yeah, I might as well be wearing a diaper.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm not going to say that because it's a sex and horror. Well, that's the horror part of the
there we go. Hey, you know, there are some people into golden showers. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Lordy, but you've gotten over the thing that you had from the bones, right?
Yes, and I mean, you can still hear it a little in my throat, but it's mostly all gone. I had like a little bit of a cough, like maybe almost a week and a half, and then it finally stopped. But yeah, I nearly killed myself with some flesh-eating bacteria that I accidentally splashed in my eye.
Oh, God.
Yeah, luckily it was diluted with soap and water. And then immediately I rinsed my eye, but it wasn't fast enough. And so I had to take 2 rounds of antibiotics, and I got 4 shots. I did the same thing as you. I try to go back to work too soon. And I've never had a setback like that. Usually it's like, okay, after a day or two, you're good. But I just got bad again, like super bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like I felt like I was getting pneumonia at that point. So had to go have x-rays, got more medications, got another shot. It's just insane. I don't know if it's getting older that makes illness harder to get through. It's not that we can't get through it. It's just that it's longer.
Yeah, I think our bodies just take longer to recuperate. But oh well, I'm gonna be back to my usual shenanigans soon.
Well, I'm telling you, girl, the secret is that B12. One of the shots I got was B12, and that shit, woof, the room brightened up. All of a sudden, I felt like myself in my mind and my ability to think, because the fatigue was horrible. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, your body's fighting off flesh-eating bacteria, so.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, all the way till the end, like, I was done with all my medicine. I felt great. I was out working. I was slowly getting energy back. And even that day, I had to drink a ton of water because I felt it in my kidney.
Oh.
So I was like, this is insane. Like, I've never had this happen. But I know it wasn't COVID. I took 4 COVID tests. All negative. But also the antibacterials were working. So.
Yeah. I guess I just got relaxed. I mean, I had even gone to that Breaking Bad, Alice in Chains concert, but it was outside, so I was back on the front rail again. Yay, had a blast. In the pit. The pit was not as crowded as it was years ago. I mean, because the last time I was in the pit was 2019, pre-pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. But it was fun, but it was outdoors, so I felt that it was ventilated. I know when my dad got me, it was because when we were riding in my car and he was the passenger, I was driving, and I remember him coughing without his mouth covered, and I was like, oh shit. And that's before I even knew anything was wrong with him. But my dad never is sick. So when he was coughing, I was already like, what's that? What is that about? Oh, I'm fine. No, no, you know. And sure enough, he has a virus.
You're like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, sitting up there in my passenger seat of my car coughing. Anyway.
Somehow we both survived with our old asses. The crypt keepers have survived.
Right. But look, one of the best parts of it has been I have been thoroughly entertained with some shows. I have found some great ones. I've been having a blast. All of them not necessarily sex and horror, you know, related, but and so I won't go into detail with them, but I really enjoyed Love Me and Tell Me Lies. I think both of those were on Hulu, but Interview with Vampire came out.
Oh my God. I mean, 10 minutes in, I was like, I am here for this.
Did you watch the first two? You know, they released the first two episodes.
Well, I think it's only on AMC Plus.
Uh-huh.
So I've only seen the first episode because I'm watching it on the airing on AMC. So it's recording them for me. But if you have AMC Plus, you can see the second one already.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. They released the first two and I watched both episodes and I can't wait to watch them again. This time to pick up whatever I missed. Now, it's funny because you remember we talked about it months ago when we heard about it coming out and they made the casting choices. I will be the first person to admit that I was not pleased with the casting. I love Interview with the Vampire, the original movie. It was, you know, it's in my top five of all times. That is one of my favorites. That is my jam. And I didn't want it to be touched with. That's Brad Pitt. That's Tom Cruise. You know, that's Kirsten Dunst. That's Antonio Banderas. Those are my people. But ma'am, I love what they're doing with this show. I
will Roland Jones. To
say that I was wrong. And I'm so glad that they have done this way. Yes.
Roland Jones is the writer and producer, our director, I think. Well, he's the creator of the show. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, this author, he has really help me understand the stuff I didn't even understand from reading the book. Like, I knew Louis was this depressed, down, upset vampire, constantly like, but the way he is telling this story, I get why he feels that way. And making the character change the way it did actually really brought that struggle that this guy was always experiencing to like it took it to a whole different level because it helped me understand why this character loathed even himself, you know, through the book series. And I just cannot cheer on what they're doing enough. It is so amazing. And then of course, you know, Anne Rice, her vampires were always fluid sexually.
Yes.
And even though later in life she became extremely Catholic, I think, or was a Christian, maybe it's the same, I don't know. But she never shied away from the, you know, man on man or girl on girl or whatever, however it was, or the attraction between the creatures, whatever, you know, sexuality, you know, whatever organs they had, it didn't matter. She always, like, whatever that relationship was, she drew it in. And I really loved how they did that still in the writing. And they really leaned on that heavily because, you know, it didn't feel like, oh, these are two guys, you know, like forbidden love. It didn't feel that way. It felt like there is like this soul attachment going on between them.
I love the way they're developing the relationship between them, and we can, it's like,
because it's right. Okay. So it's a vampire of a relationship, which means he is becoming this man's partner for possibly, yeah, his companion,
yeah,
for practically, you know, forever, for all he knows, because they're eternal. So they really play that connection up. And I thought they did an amazing job doing that.
Yeah. I loved it.
And I've only seen episode one.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll be careful not to say too much from episode two, because this is one that I can't wait to talk about, you know, weekly as we go through the episodes, really, because there's a lot to unpack. I mean, sure, it's violent, everything,
but it's about vampires, and her vampires were never sparkly.
Yeah,
and, romantic, but not sparkly. They were always gory.
And they're also so beautiful still.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful people. I love the, I saw somebody write that this series is blacker and gayer than the original. But I think it was always kind of hinted at between Louis and Lestat. And so I love how it's been developed where we can see what they're, more of the angst in the relationship and how it's being developed, but also why Louis is brooding so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing the family dynamics.
And, yes. And the fact that they chose to make him black was so important, because that time of life, especially in that era, you know, there is so much that weight of living a day-to-day life, like, you know, you saw it, you know, where he's getting cussed out in the whorehouse in the beginning by his patron, and he's calling him the n-word, and then he's like, oh, you know, everybody's like, oh my god, you know, you're talking to him, and he kind of puts his hand up, he's like, sir, I'm Louis, you know, de la Pont, and then de Luc de Pont, and then the man's like, oh, I apologize, my apologies, like, you know, it didn't matter, he didn't stop to ask or even give the common courtesy to know he shouldn't be speaking like that in an establishment that's being run by black people, you know, but he was white and entitled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to have that shown, it really helps people, I think, especially young people these days, to understand the core root of all this angst in our society now.
And also with the other story that's running at the same time, because it's a story within a story. Before it was Christian Slater's character.
Yes.
And so we have this journalist who's not immediately in love with doing this. You know, he's very hesitant, and he's not, and but he's, you know, we can see him being won over to empathizing or having sympathy for the devil in a sense, you know, and that's probably more so you'll see in the second episode. But what I mean is he doesn't just jump right in with, yay, I'm going to go interview a vampire. You know what I mean?
Because he did it before and it almost got him killed.
Yeah. There's history between them. Mm-hmm. And so I love the way that they've played that up too. And,
yes.
And seeing because both sides.
It makes it so much more comfortable, because the other thing too, right, at this point it's been like how many years, 30 years or something since the last one, 29 years or how many years ago that they say in the film, in the series, and you know that it makes sense, like if he was, you know, he's aged, the vampires have aged, you know, even though it's still a blink of an eye to them, but you know, they're it's getting comfortable with the relationship of to themselves and their undeadness and also to the world around them.
Yeah, I will say also that when I first found that it was going to be on AMC, I was like, oh god no, because I'm thinking of all the liberties they can't take like they do with the Walking Dead, you know, you can feel the barriers that are there, right? But then when I realized this is AMC Plus, they are being able to do a little bit more. And I hadn't even thought about it, but my husband was like, did they just show a pair of boobs? You know, this must not be AMC. And I was like, oh, this is AMC Plus.
See, now that's probably the difference, because I'm watching it on AMC. Yeah. And they showed the silhouette of her breast. And they show almost everything but the actual nipple. So I don't know if they show the actual nipple on AMC Plus.
AMC Plus, yes, they are showing a little bit more on there.
And it's interesting.
It's not that you have to, but I mean, I just like for artists and creatives to be able to just be freer. I don't like so many of restrictions that keep them in a box. And so you can tell they're a little less rigid in this show than they are on some of the other AMC shows that I watch.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to what they're going to do with this. Like I said, I'm going to watch this again. I have the same excitement that I did when I first watched True Blood, and I ended up watching that like three times back to back to back because I'm always looking for something different. Because one, I'm just looking at entertainment. Next, I want to see the more of the cinematography part of it, and how what the writers are actually doing, you know. But this is great. I will be the first to say that I was wrong. We can always go back and listen and go back and watch Interview with the Vampire, the movie. This is bringing something fresh and original, but still keeping the heart of what Anne Rice was doing. So I am.
Yes. And I will say, I'll be the first to say, and I've been noticing this more and more lately. You know, one thing that you and I do on our show, on our podcast here, we talk about our experiences with these things. Sometimes we're a little bit like a little critical, but we always do emphasize this is our perspective of this art. Uh-huh. We're not, you know, we are not 100% telling you should not go see this or do. We don't do that. And I really feel like society is so afraid to experience things.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to go through this movie. It's going to suck. Well, everybody sees things differently. Like I went and saw Nope with, you know, I talked about that on the show with a couple of friends, a couple of other authors, and they hated it. And I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
You know?
But
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was going to say, and the same people they saw Midsummer, and you and I were like, oh, God. You know, we hated it, but they loved that show. So you never know. Art is art, you know? And keep an open mind as with everything that we're going to talk about, whether now or another episode. Always remember, stop reading the critiques and feeling like, you know, it's not called critiques. What is it called? The reviews. Yeah. And thinking, oh, I shouldn't see it because of this is how this person experience it for yourself. Because you never know.
Yeah. And you're also listening to us talk about it real time. You have to understand, we watch a lot. We read a lot.
Which I don't know how we do that. We do so much other shit in our life. Where do we find the time for this?
Well, this is where I'm saying, because I live, breathe, eat, sleep. You know, I love this. Mm-hmm. So my opinion on something is going to be different than somebody else just because I'm seeing so much all the time. And so, but I love to talk about it. So it's never to the point that I want to keep someone else from watching it or to tell someone to watch it if it's not their thing. It's a matter of just loving the cinema, loving what I'm seeing, loving the experience. And so I want to talk about it. If you're listening to us, you're really listening to us experience it. I can't say the word.
Yeah.
You're listening to us talking about our experience more so than we are reviewing it, I guess.
Yes.
So it's not this is a pass or a fail or you should watch or you shouldn't watch. It's more of we are so engrossed in what we're doing that we're wanting to share that experience with you.
Yes, for sure. Now, having said all that,
Munster.
Well, I wasn't even going to bring them up yet because.
Okay, what were you going to bring up next?
Well, we can talk about Munsters, but I was going to ask, we can talk about this after we talk about the Munsters. But did you watch any of the Dahmer series?
Absolutely not. And I've expressed over and over and over again why I do not watch those and why I will not watch it. I absolutely take issue with the fact that there are real life victims. I love Joe Goldberg. I love Dexter. I do not love hearing about real life serial killers with real victims being made out to be celebrities. It bothers me.
I will tell you this. This series really is the voice for the victims. They are really giving the voice to the victims. I think I know more about the people that what he did to their families after the victims were gone than I've ever known about any other serial killer's victims ever. So that's what I have to say about that. And of course, the police corruption. Like, it is disgusting. It's disgusting. What he did was unfathomable. I don't even understand why they didn't have the death penalty there. And I don't understand why somebody just didn't put a bullet in his head. But the things that the cops did and ignored, it's just so depressing, like, to watch these people's lives. Even the neighbor and all she went through. It's just so sad. The whole thing is really so sad. But I am applauding the series because they really did. They are giving the victims a voice. And I think, wow, I've never seen that done in anything about serial killers before.
What I saw was that some of the victims' families said that they didn't get paid or anything. They weren't consulted. They didn't know about it until everyone else heard that the series was coming out. And I feel like that's a slight to them. I also saw that via TMZ, that a pair of his glasses were being auctioned for $150,000. I feel like that's a slight to the victims'
families. Well, let me tell you, in real life, the book his father wrote, any of the money that Dahmer was getting sent by his fans, all this crap that they were, the courts made them give the profits to the victims equally. So they were getting profits from all that. So they were during the whole situation. So
what about this new Netflix series?
Well, Netflix doesn't compensate anybody but Netflix. Who else did they ever give any money to? Come on now. We know about that. I mean, nothing's going to Dahmer's family.
I mean, this story's been told over and over again. Oh, you know what? Which reminds me, I saw another story that I've seen over and over again that's coming out too. Go ahead, finish. I gotta look this shit up.
Oh no, that's fine. No, but I will say, I mean, I don't know at this point, you know, as far as compensation, I think they've gotten everything they can out of it. I hope and cross my fingers that it does make the book go back up for sale that the father wrote, because that money will go to the victims.
Lady Chatterley's Lover.
What is that about?
I just saw that they were remaking it again. I have watched like 5 different versions of that.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. Interesting.
I think it's like a European erotic love story. I've seen so many different versions of it. I've seen all of them. Lady Chatterley's Lover. I just remember seeing that yesterday. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Another remake of that too? But know what? I've watched all 5 of the others. I'm going to watch this one too. I think the original one was maybe 5 hours long. And it was in several different parts. Just check it out. I mean, some of the other versions, if you want. They gave some people an early erotic start. I'm having such a difficult time thinking of the people's names right now. I remember seeing a version with I just put on Lady Chatterley and like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 young Lady Chatterley, Lady Chatterley stories, that like 8 popped up already.
Oh geez.
Like, oh my goodness. Richard Madden was in one, Lady Chatterley's Lover, in 2015, that movie. Like, I mean, this goes back to the 70s, but I've watched all of them. But anyway, they're about to do another one. So yeah, what I was saying about Dahmer is it's like they just keep remaking his story over and over and over again. They just will not let this
Which man is crazy, because I don't think I've ever watched hell anything about him.
They just won't let this man burn in hell where he belongs.
Well, too many people are fascinated with it. But it did get me thinking, you know, people get fascinated with things all the time. And always, it is macabre and it isn't. I think you and I have touched on this before. But, you know, it's like people who are, like, all about joining the forces, the armed forces. In a lot of ways, you're obsessing over murdering people, you know. Or, like, people who are, like, extreme about, you know, politics. I mean, there's so many, whatever way you're swinging, it's like we get obsessed with things, A, that are sometimes really, really bad for our society, and B, are just so out of your control. I don't know if that's part of the obsession. I don't know.
You know, I would really, you know what? I don't think it would bother me if it was like revenge murders or killings or whatever makes sense to me, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Someone did you wrong and you went and you killed up everybody in whole, you know, those really, you know, I would not be bothered, but you know, a bunch of innocent victims, I'm disturbed.
It's just horrible. And I will definitely say that I appreciate that they are pushing an understanding of what the victims went through, and they're really showing the way he was actually extremely smart. He acted really dumb. Like I saw a meme where they have oh my God, what's his name with the lamb? Tina, eat your dinner. Oh my God, what was his name? Not lamb, llama. Vote for Pedro. Oh my God, everybody out there is screaming at me. Anyway, I'll think of it in a second. So they've had a meme of this guy's face as Dahmer because he acts so stupid. Like he acts like an idiot, but the man is extremely intelligent and he knew everything he was doing. He was leaning on his white privilege to keep himself out of all this, you know, craziness. And then once he got caught, he was ready to be caught. And then he discovered that he had a whole fan base and just went all out crazy with that. So when he got bludgeoned to death, which is fantastic, you know, you're rooting for the people killing him. You're like, yes, thank you. Like, you know, you feel so great about it, which is awful. But, you know, I mean, this is just a horrible human and never was a good person in any part of his life.
Yeah.
And his parents are horrible people, too, I feel like. But anyway, that's my opinion. But yeah.
I hope from something like this that people will learn if there's something that makes them vulnerable, that they could learn how to not be victimized or be a victim, like be aware of their surroundings, be aware of things that look out of place or look somebody's looking weird or crazy. Yes. Or something. I hope it is alerting people to the dangers and the evils that are
and
out
even
there.
And people who are making predators are not always making predators of females. He was preying on men. And I said something about that on my Facebook. I said, if you want to know what it's like for a female, from the time her eyes open as an infant to the time her eyes close when she dies, watch this movie, because you're going to know what it feels like to be prey. Because you always, as a female, you always feel like you're prey, no matter how old you are.
Hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. I will say, I remembered his name, Napoleon Dynamite. And Napoleon Dynamite as Dahmer. I'm like, yeah, because he tried to portray himself as stupid like that, but he wasn't. Anyway, now on to the Munsters.
Okay, well, I tried. I just was not in the right mood. It was because I have been watching so many things that I have been loving and enjoying. And this did not grip me right away. And I was like, you know what? There's something else I could be watching and enjoying. So I watched about 15 minutes of it. It looked beautiful. I mean, I love the costuming. I love, you know, the set design and everything. The colors were brilliant. I love what they were doing with it. It was just way too fucking silly for me. I just could not deal.
Well, the Munsters originally were kind of silly.
Yeah.
They were always kind of silly. So I was expecting that.
Yes.
Of course, the techno color vision, like the super bright colors, it was definitely much more eye catching because they were very dull in the original show. Mm-hmm. Which some people like that, and you know, everybody has their opinions on that. But I would definitely say I enjoyed the fact that they brought a little more goth to their world, because we didn't really see that so much in the series, I felt. Yeah, you had the son who was a half werewolf, and you know, and then the Frankenstein dad and the vampire mom and grandfather, you know, all the little monsters, but it was never outside of their home. So they originated from Transylvania. So they had a little more goth going on in their lives where they were, you know, the vampire date she went on with Nosferatu. And the only thing I did not really enjoy about the show was that they made Lily seem kind of airheaded.
Hmm.
And I didn't like that, because in the series, Lily was quite smart. She was very, very smart. So I was disappointed in that. I you know, of course, right now it could be because I'm a female and we're going through what we're going through as females in this country. But it just was like, oh man, why would you do that to her? Because out of everyone in the family, now they made her have the most power and everybody was afraid of her because she had the most power. But in the series, she kept that family going. She kept them all together. She was the tightly wound clock. She was the one who always was like, okay, Herman, you know, like it was, that's what I was disappointed by when it comes to the show.
Okay.
I have to let my dog in. So if you hear a snoring dog soon, you'll know where, where it's coming from. Because he'll just.
I am not going to finish.
Oh, okay.
This is a show for my kids. It's just not for me.
No, I get that. Yeah. Which I imagine you probably feel about Hocus Pocus too. Did you watch that one?
Absolutely not.
Oh my God, I have been waiting forever to see Hocus Pocus 2.
I know, and I remember you loved the first one too.
And then you got all excited about the cat we had on our show.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just, it's because we're talking to the cat, not because I love Hocus Pocus.
You know? I get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they did a great job, I thought, with this new show. We had a diverse cast, which was great. Mm-hmm. And there was more storyline to the witches, which was really nice. I thought that was great and it made sense. And there's a hint that there's going to be a third one. As a writer, I kind of have my, you know, suspicions of what they're going to do it on.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I would definitely say over the Munsters, I would watch Hocus Pocus 15 times. Yeah. I've already seen it twice since it came out. So there you go. That's my answer to if I liked it.
Really? So it was a part two from the one from years ago?
Yes. So basically
how many years?
29 years since 1993.
29 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, the ladies look aged, but, you know, to be fair, in the show, you know, they were supposed to suck the life of children, the essence of a child and the soul of a child in order to, like, as far as, like, that's the spell they were casting, in order to become youthful again. So, you know, that was their main goal while the black flame candle, you know, burnt out on the one night that they were alive. So they're supposed to suck these children's souls. Well, you get a little bit more history of the witches and what they went through, and they were cast out of Salem because of the mayor. At the time, he wasn't really the mayor. He was like the one who ran the church, which might have been the same, you know, concept as mayor back in those days, right? Because, you know, the preacher or whatever was the one who told everybody what to do and practically. Anyway, so his bloodline is now the mayor of Salem. And he looks just like the one that they had the fight before, that they got, you know, they were just children when they had this big thing with him. And they became witches. So it's them, like, you know, going, like, facing their foe, and then they decide they're going to do this big magic spell. In the meantime, there's three young girls, but only two of them are together doing, like, little magic things together. And they get tricked by the shop owner, this occult shop owner who has all the Sanderson sisters in the same building. He's redone it, and he has all their memorabilia there. And he has like an occult shop. He sells stuff. So he gives them the black flame candle as a gift. He's like, oh, I made you this handmade gift. And they don't know it's a black flame candle, of course. And so, you know, he tricks them into bringing them back. But it's a Hispanic girl and a black girl. And then the third girl, who's really not in it too much till the end, is the white girl. So they are so cute, though. They are so, so, so cute. And then the young black girl, of course, you know me and my names. I don't know anybody's names. That's your job. Anyway, she ends up being an actual witch. Her family dates back to that time. And she has magic, and she doesn't even realize. So the other two girls, she ends up sharing her magic with, so to speak, to help defeat the Sanderson sisters. But it's really so good. And the way they end up doing it at the end, they don't really defeat the sisters. Something happens. I don't want to give it away in case anybody's seen it. Something happens and they actually end up helping and to help them in the end. But I would definitely recommend it. It's so good. It's so very cute and it's very innocent. There's no, like, you know, it's one of those things where you don't, unless you're watching Disney all the time, you don't see stories like that anymore where it's wholesome, you know? So it's great for your daughter, you know, your children. It's good, fun Halloween, you know, like Halloween Town, you know, the original Hocus Pocus. It has all that really great Halloween feel. What was it? Hubie with Adam Sandler's.
Hubie Halloween.
Yes, which I love that show. I watch it again. I love it.
Yeah. And that is the sort of thing that I would watch that with them. So, you know, if we're looking for something to watch together one night, then maybe I'll pull that out. Otherwise, yeah. I remember watching Hocus Pocus with them before and I fell asleep on it. Like it was, I just couldn't even stay awake. So
they did a great job on this one. And I'm looking forward to the third one. I'm pretty sure they're going to do it the way they, you know how at the end of the Marvel movies, they give you a hint.
Yeah.
They did the same thing at the end of this one. I'm like, but there's a couple of unanswered questions. You know, as a writer, you look and you go, you know, you get to see how the Sanderson sisters got their power and you start wondering what happened to that person. So, you know, as a writer, you see the things that you're like, I think they're laying some Easter eggs here. You know what I mean?
I see. Yeah. Well, one that I did go to the theater to watch a few weeks ago was The Invitation. The Invitation is another vampire movie. So basically, as soon as I saw the first trailer for it, you know, maybe last year, I knew I was going to go see it. It was, did you see The Invitation?
I have not seen it, but tell me about it.
No, okay. Well, you know that I don't ever make Twilight the butt of any jokes. I enjoy Twilight. I enjoy the Twilight series, the books of the series, even though I know that it's become the butt of vampire jokes. I thought it brought something, and it was still good. It was good to me. Yeah. The Invitation I thought was even better than that, but along the same lines of not being revolutionary, you know, it's not something where it's not going to be like in my top 10 of all time vampire movies or anything, but it was still an enjoyable watch. I'm still glad I went to see it. It was pretty predictable. Nothing, you know how I'm always trying to guess what's going to happen and all that. There was nothing. There was any twists that I didn't. I don't even think there was any intentional twists. Really, it's like you know going into it that she is part of their bloodline and that they're vampires. You know what I mean? The thing that this really hinges on to me is the romance between them, sort of. But nah, I can't call it a romance.
No,
because it's not one of those happily ever after romances. There's a seduction.
Okay.
But he is such a beautiful man, and she is such a beautiful woman. Like they were so the cast was so stunning to watch. Thomas Doherty, I think, is on the new Gossip Girl that's on HBO Max. And, you know, he's really eye-catching, but the way the light was catching his eyes and his facial features and everything, they were just really beautiful people. It was pretty tame in terms of vampire movies. Sure, you had the blood and all that. There was suspense, but it was just good, you know, not great, not bad, just okay, you know.
Well, that's good then. At least you didn't feel like you wasted your money.
No, I didn't. And I had the whole theater to myself when I went.
Oh, wow. So, nice.
Yeah.
But that's rare.
Yeah. Well, I like to go early during the day and, you know, have it to myself like a matinee. So I just really, really enjoyed watching what he brought to
Well,
it.
I'll definitely see it, probably not in the theater, but I definitely will watch it, give it a watch when it comes out.
Yeah, you could very, very, very much enjoy it at home without having to go see it in the theater. It was just okay. Yeah.
Well, I did go see a movie that I thought I wasn't going to like, but my friends wanted to go, and I was like, sure, why not go? And it was, what's it called? Don't Worry, Darling. And it's very Stepford Wife looking. And it was very strange. I'm like, well, why do I want to watch this again? You know, because it's always the same thing, but it's a new twist on the Stepford Wife thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, and I don't want to ruin it for people. It has Harry Styles in it. So of course there was young people in the theater. They were so excited. And mm-hmm. I thought, dude, I almost did your hair. Stupid COVID. But anyway, it was actually really good. And I was surprised by the ending. And I was like, oh, like I didn't even see that that's what was going on. So I found that very exciting. And as especially as a writer, right? You know, we always get to see something a little bit more, you know, like, oh, that's what this is. And then it just plays into the women's rights that we're going through right now in our world. So I was just like, holy cow. Like, which I knew going in, it had to have been like a Stepford Wifey kind of weird thing going on. But it really was like, it's really well done the way they did it. So I would definitely recommend it. You don't have to go see it in the theater, but I thought the way that they did the set was so cool. And to really get an understanding of the strangeness of it, seeing it on a big screen definitely helped.
Yeah, I'm planning to see that one because of Chris Pine too.
Chris Pine
is in it. Yeah. I was okay. Fun to see that one. Yeah, I just haven't gotten to it yet. I'm so behind on a lot of them. Woman King, Barbarian.
Same.
Yeah,
I wanted to see I'm both behind. Those.
Smile just came out. I haven't, and Smile has been on my list ever since I first saw that trailer last year. So I'm behind. I got to get through quite a few of them. I did see Beast.
Oh, yeah. How did you like that?
I like Beast. It was another one that was, you know, everybody said it was great. I could see how you could probably get more of the feel of the roar of the lion in the theater, and I watched it at home, but it was good. Not great, not bad, you know, it's just good. Okay. It was always a pleasure to see Idris Elba. He's a great actor, of course, with his mm-hmm. dynamics with the kids. You know how it is with kids in movies. They do some dumb things, but these particular kids, though, every time they did something dumb, they followed it up with something great. So it was still
well, there's
good,
that.
Too.
Yeah.
So like you tell a child, don't move. And they go move. It's like, fuck. But then they turn around and save your life. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
yeah, they kept doing dumb stuff, but it was also good stuff. He did some dumb stuff, too, but he did some good stuff. So it was good. It was good enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not gonna be my favorite movie, but I did enjoy the lion. It was just a lion. But this lion just did not want to die.
He was the Michael Myers of lions.
Yes, that's right.
That's... Oh my god, that would be a great meme.
he did not want to die. This lion was like, no, I'm mad and I'm going to get revenge. And you know, that's another part of Beast, though. It's like, who's really the villain? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're supposed to be rooting for Idris Elba and his family. And obviously, you don't want this lion to kill these kids. But at the same time, he is angry because what people have done to his pride. You know what I mean? To his, mm-hmm. you know, so he is, there's the revenge element. Just like here in my neighborhood over here, they've been doing a lot of building as they have period, you know, with the housing market. So they've been tearing down a lot of land. So you have a lot of undeveloped land that's being used for residential areas. And I can't help but wonder about all the animals that they just keep getting pushed back. Further and further and further. One night when I was walking in my neighborhood, I saw deer just kind of running around. And I know these poor things are like, where are we supposed to go? Like,
yeah.
Y'all are taking up our land. This is our space. This is where we've been living all this time. And so I feel bad for the animals too. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
this lion, I felt he couldn't just kill it like that indiscriminately. But at the same time, he was kind of justified too.
Wow. Well, there you go. Well, when I saw that, I know you didn't get to see, and it just came out like yesterday, is My Best Friend's Exorcism. And it is, it's set in the 80s. So, you know, of course, I was all about it.
I saw it. I pulled it up. And then I was like, oh, shit. I thought this was The Exorcism. Because there's supposed to be a new Exorcism coming out. But then I saw my best friends. And I was like, oh, hell no. And I exited out of that. It's a good.
Well, it actually is. I was surprised. It's a little bit hokey. But the actual possession is really gruesome and crazy. The special effects are great. And once it gets serious, it stays that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, up until that point, once the entity really starts taking this girl over, she's just doing some really evil, awful things to her friends, including, and I just have to say this because I was like, dude, I did not see that coming. I thought it was something totally different. She was drinking this shake, or really, I think she was pretending to drink it. And one of her girlfriends was like, what is that? She's like, oh, it's a weight loss shake. I just stole it from my mom because, you know, she's always hoarding them. And she's like, I want a drink. She's like, sure. And she let her have it. And she's like, oh, it's vanilla. It tastes good. She goes, yeah, you can. She's like, do you have more? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'll bring you some. So they're packages, right? Girl, it was tapeworm eggs.
Oh,
my God. It's so gross. So she nearly kills like two out of three of their friends. And she's possessed by this demon, right? And she does horrific things to them. It's not even like, you know, you see this worm get pulled out of this girl.
Oh.
And it's just, but there's some humor to it because the dog does it. It's so silly, but at the same time, you're so horrified by this giant thing getting pulled out of her mouth. It's just like this craziness that's going on. And then another girl, she almost dies of anaphylactic shock because she intentionally gives her nuts. And the poor girl's like choking and dying, and she's just like taunting her. So you're like, this bitch is turning super evil. But the exorcism, there's some humor to it. And it's not during the exorcism. It's the person who's trying to do the exorcism, quote unquote. And then the person who's doing it just leaves. And then her best friend's standing there like, what the fuck? How am I supposed to do an exorcism? I don't know how to do this. I'm not even religious. So because she's Jewish and she's going to a Catholic school. Oh my God. But yeah, it ends up being really good in the end. And it's there's like a creepy creature in it, or the demon. So I definitely recommend. It's so much fun. It's just new on Netflix. And it's just one of those fun, hokey little things you can watch. And it's really good. So definitely recommend for me. It kind of doesn't really go with our show, but Let's Do Revenge, whatever that one is on Netflix is right now. Also really, really good.
Let's Do Revenge.
I think that's what it is, or Do Revenge, or something like that. It's with the girl from, one of the girls is from Stranger Things, the girl, the Chips Ahoy girl that was the gay girl. She's in it, and then the girl from Riverdale that plays Veronica is in it.
Oh, it's a comedy.
It is a comedy, but it's like an evil. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a bit of Cruel Intentions, like the newer version of what a Cruel Intentions show would be. Uh-huh. So, yeah, without so much sexual tension. There is sexual tension, but it's not like Cruel Intentions. Like back in the 90s, we had all those extreme sexual intention shows. But this one is not quite that much. But, it's good. It's good. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. The ones that I watched and enjoyed that weren't necessarily sex or horror or anything, I guess they really would fall under the sexy element. Love 101 is a TV series. It's 16 episodes. It really was not new, but it was new to me. It was from 2020 to 2021, and it's a Turkish show.
Hmm.
And because I had started watching a bunch of Turkish movies, it was one of the next ones up, Love 101. I was so hooked. It was such beautiful writing, beautiful storytelling. It was, you know how I'm talking about the Spanish shows that I watch, how they don't give everything all at once. They kind of do it a slow reveal. I just fell in love with these characters. They were part of like the outcast crew, and they just kept getting into all sorts of devilish stuff.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to say devilish, like supernatural. I got to.
No, I know what you're saying.
Our show. I got to clarify. They were the feist devils. And much like the Spanish shows, the teachers and the school administration, the absolute worst. The parent, these kids are always without parental supervision and stuff, like they are on the Spanish shows. So they just run amok. But it's really the camaraderie with them. Their love for each other was just so beautiful. There's another story running at the same time where we get to see them meet up like 20 years later. And one by one, we don't know who's going to show up. And then I found myself so emotional as each one of them showed up. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I think I remember you telling me about this.
It does sound familiar. Did we talk about this on the show?
We might have. Yeah. Well, you know, it definitely made an impression of you. If you're bringing it up again, girl.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, look, how about I move on to Tell Me Lies then?
Okay. But that's okay. I want to still see that one.
Tell Me Lies is on Hulu, and that was the main guy is a liar. He is a fucking liar. But all of them are hiding something. They're all kind of hiding something. But he's a liar, but he's so charismatic. So what's interesting is, you know how when we watch 365 Days, you mm-hmm. know why everybody's watching. It's for Nacho and Massimo, right? Because right. those actors are hunky-dory, like, mm-hmm. you know, they are the epitome of oof. Okay, with this, when this guy is coming up here and you know he is supposed to be the charmer and everything, it's like, hold up, this is the guy that's doing all the charming? Like, what? Like, what am I missing? But, and then I thought, okay, well, maybe that's just me. But no, it's in the story. Like, well, he's not much of a looker. You know, I'm not really even attracted to him. But, you know what I mean? So it's that is the character. The character is really doing all this based on his charm. It is not on his looks, though.
Which he does. I've met people like that in real life, so I get it.
Yeah. He does seem to be really laying it down in the bedroom, though. They seem to be really hooked to him on that. Yeah, he's laying them down. But he's able to charm them with his words, not his looks, and they're hooked that way. But watching him carry out his lies is funny. And then at first I was like, well, this show is called Tell Me Lies, but he's still kind of toeing the line a little bit. But no, he ends up lying. He does some lying. But I'm hooked to the characters, and that one is ongoing. That one and Love Me, I think, are still, there's only 6 episodes of Love Me out right now.
Ah, okay.
I finished that one earlier. Love Me is another one that is it has some type of romances that you don't see all the time. So you remember when we watched the show Thank You, what was it, Leo Grande? Thank
you. Yes,
Leo Grande. Okay, so she doesn't have a gigolo, but it has older characters, and there is an older romance surrounding grief. And so I thought there was some interesting dynamics that they don't normally have there. So Tell Me Lies is the one that takes me back to my undergrad days.
Okay.
Love Me brings me more to where I am right now as an older woman. If I were to get back on the dating market, what it would be like. And then dealing with parents that are aging and trying to find love too, or in the case of one of them dying or something like that.
Interesting.
So yeah, I like that these, both of these shows are not the typical Gossip Girl type show that we've gotten accustomed to here. They're both bringing some different things that I don't see all the time. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to watch that one with the serial killer who kidnapped the therapist. It's on Prime. And I'm having a hard time getting into it. I'm just kind of like, it's an interesting idea, but I just don't. Huh?
Captured the Therapist. What's the name of it?
I want to say it's called The Patient. It's with Steve Carell. And I don't know the killer. But Steve Carell is the therapist that he kidnaps. It's okay. I still just haven't gotten into it much. I don't know why. I don't know. But it's okay. And then, you know, House of Dragons, you said you haven't been watching it.
No, I have been watching that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you're caught up to the newest, the one that just aired?
I certainly am.
Okay. Now, what do you think? I'm curious to say, what have you thought about it?
I am really enjoying it. I'm loving it. And you know who my favorite character is before I even say his name.
The uncle?
Of course. Uncle Damon.
Okay. I had a feeling maybe. He's definitely... He's kind of like the underdog that you're rooting for in some ways.
Yeah, I like him also because, I mean, he's always doing something. Like, he is always stirring the pot. But also, I really like a warrior. I like a strong guy. That mm-hmm. Ever since that time, he came in petty as hell and he killed everybody so he wouldn't accept help from his brother. Oh, yeah.
That was
he would
great.
Be he would be hell in real life. As a real partner, but I mean, as a character to watch, yes, he's fascinating.
Well, I mean, I've enjoyed it. I'm watching it every week. I'm enjoying it, but it is not hitting me the same way that Game of Thrones did.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, what do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
You know, I keep trying to figure it out because it has the same amount of sex, the same amount of gore. But it's something about the storylines that I'm not, you know, I think at least with the original, we had, you know, what's her name? That ended up becoming the queen with the dragon. Oh, God.
Daenerys.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had this story that she was in the struggle she was going through, you know, so we had that going on. And it's something about that female struggle that, of course, I'm going to be into. I am not getting that with this new girl who, you know, we had the young actress the first couple of, and then she moved on. She's been named the queen, you know, when the king dies. Now, I'm loving the rivalry, though, between her old best friend, who is her mother, who's now queen, and herself. I'm disappointed that the other family from that, you know, she married into, the gay brother, I'm disappointed that they're not more in the story because I feel like the daughter who was pregnant and dying because she couldn't give birth, she, you know, courageously went and had and told the dragon to kill her because she knew that she was going to die and she knew the baby wasn't going to survive and she was going to go out her own way. Mm-hmm. I'm just missing that from the characters. I'm not getting that. These characters, I feel like, especially the children, like that child fight that happened this last one.
Yeah.
I was like, these fucking people are just horrible humans. And I don't like them, any of them. Which, you know, we hated Joffrey, but Joffrey from Game of Thrones was like this individual. Everybody was kind of like corrupt, but he was the counterpart, right, to Daenerys going through what she was going through, being raped and all that craziness she was going through. He was the counterpart, right? We like felt so sorry for her and we saw this craziness, you know, and then we saw the brother and sister having sex. I mean, obviously that whole bloodline is insane because now, you know, the uncle's. I mean, you know, it's just interesting. It's a real interesting show, but I am not feeling the same. I'm really not.
I see a lot of comments like that. A lot of people are saying that. I don't know because it was just so long ago that I watched Game of Thrones, the first season. I can't remember if I, you know, have the same level of enthusiasm or not. I just know that every, you know, how I base how much I'm enjoying it is whether I'm doing anything else, whether you are occupying my time and my attention solely.
Right.
And
right.
My phone is not in my hand the whole time. My eyes are glued to the screen and I'm watching everything. I'm still anticipating it every week, you know, so I still feel that same excitement. Like I said, it was a long time ago since I watched the first season of Game of Thrones, but I remember when I first watched the first season of Game of Thrones, it took me a while to catch on to their names. So I had trouble keeping up with them. So I ended up having to watch it over and over again the first season so I could know exactly who they were. And then I was watching on DVDs. That's how long ago that was. Wow. The first season. Yeah. But now, now it's like I'm already making sure that I know their names the first time going through so I can keep up a whole lot faster. Oh, okay. And know who's doing what and what's happening.
You know, I just think it's a magic that a cast and crew create together. Mm. I feel that magic in the interview. I feel it. Like, I mean, I am just like, my eyes cannot drink enough of that show.
Yeah.
I don't have it with this one.
I will say that. Now, I will say the difference for me between these two shows is that I'm already wanting to watch Interview with a Vampire again. I have no desire to watch House of the Dragon again. Like, right. I'm good on my first viewing.
Yeah.
I am enjoying it, but I'm good on my first viewing. I'm ready to watch Interview with a Vampire again. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like right I'm ready to own that motherfucking shit. Okay. Like, it needs to be a part of my collection. I mean, it's just so beautiful. Not just the sets, but I mean, yes, the actors playing them, of course, are all gorgeous, but it's just the tone, the general tone. And the complexity that they've put into this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, it's so good.
You got to watch that second episode so we can talk about that. But girl, I laughed so hard. I was laughing my ass off in that second season, that second episode. I need you to see that.
Okay.
I guess we've gone over an hour, so we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay. But
lots and lots to watch. We've watched a lot, but we still are so behind with a lot. Do you think things are coming out faster?
I feel like so, right? Barbarian just came out right behind Beast and right behind the Queen.
Behind. And there are already so many things.
Things coming down the line. Shit.
Like, I need to start putting it on my calendar so I don't miss anything.
Exactly.
If I miss it.
What are you looking forward to seeing?
As soon as it comes out, Black Panther trailer just came out.
Girl, yes.
So that is at the top of my list.
Black Panther?
Yeah, the Black Panther.
Or I thought you're not talking about the new one that's coming out?
Black Panther 2. Okay. Black Panther 2.
Oh, yes,
two.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
They're calling it something else, but yeah, it's the same thing. Okay. I was just making sure.
Okay. I hadn't even noticed if they are. The Wakanda movie. The next Wakanda.
Yes.
Wakanda Forever movie. That one.
That's what it is. Yes. I knew it was something else. I was like, I can't remember what they're calling it, but yes, I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, that looks great. I just realized that Black Adam just came out. Did that come out? Yes. Fuck. I just saw that. Like, oh my God, I am behind because these are the ones that I'm supposed to see in the theater. Like when they first come out. But at the same time, I still haven't seen The Woman King. I have still not seen Smile, still not seen Barbarian. All of them are still in the theater. Like right now. I also season four is coming out. You.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about with Joe Goldberg?
Yeah, yes. Okay.
That is within a few weeks from now. I just saw Alice in Borderland is coming out.
Do you
remember that one? That's the I think the Japanese horror. The Japanese Alice in Borderland. That was the one that was like Squid Game, but it was Japanese.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you didn't see it? Okay.
The one with the nun that's coming out, I have been dying to see that. It's not called The Nun. It's something else. But it's about this nun who has been, since she was a child, this demon has been trying to get to her. Mm. And I cannot wait to see it. It looks super good.
Hellraiser is coming out.
What? They have a new Hellraiser?
Yes. I'm not sure what she went by. She or he, they went by on golly, what was the show with the people who were all connected?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Something eight. Is it eight?
Yes. Sense8.
Yes.
Jamie from Sense8 is Pinhead.
Oh, or, shit.
Or whatever the pin.
Well, that's exciting. I didn't know they were doing that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, this is me, you guys, never knowing anything till it's too late.
But I'm not sure when it's coming out, though, now that I think about it. The other ones I mentioned
are the next month or so. The same people who are doing Interview with a Vampire next year are going to be releasing
Mayfair Witches.
Yes. Right. And that was my favorite book growing up. I loved that book.
Mayfair Witches, yeah. I was like, aw. And she won't be around to see any of these, but.
Well, she knew that they were going to happen.
Yeah, she gave her stamp of approval before she went.
That's right. And they're doing her proud.
Uh-huh. What am I missing that's coming out?
Girl, I don't know, obviously.
Well, I'm sure we'll stay up to date.
Oh, yeah. We'll try, you guys. We'll try.
All right.
I'm getting another year older this year, so you know, whatever.
Yeah, your birthday's up next. Yeah. Yep. Since the last time we recorded, I had a birthday.
That's right.
Yeah, I had a birthday last week.
It's happy birthday, Dicey.
Happy birthday to me.
And you almost died. That was my birthday present. I almost died.
Jesus. Well, I actually think the stress of my birthday is what, because I had been fighting it for like a week, and I think it was the stress on my birthday. I went to a firm to talk to some people about something, and I think I was just the adrenaline and everything from that just kind of kicked me into overdrive, and so here we are.
Well, we made it, girl. All right. Go get some B12.
You know what? I think it's B12 that breaks my skin out.
It can if you do too much of it. Yes, it can.
Yeah. But I did, once you mentioned it, I was like, you know what? I got some elderberries in here. I can't believe I didn't remember to take them beforehand.
Oh, my God, yes. That'll get you through viruses real good.
Yeah, so I've been taking that. I had some.
This is the part where we talk about our geriatric stuff you guys can tune out. Let me tell you about this new Depends. No, I'm just kidding.
They're like, hold up. This is the horror and horror show.
Yes.
The horror over the horror.
Everybody else can tune out. Show. Everybody else can tune out except for those who are obsessed with older ladies.
The horror after 45.
Oh my god. Well, you have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex and Horror.
Make sure you subscribe.
And join our Facebook group.
If you'd like to be a guest, let us know.
If you have a topic to suggest, a movie, TV show, book, song to be featured, let us know.
You can follow me at ChantelRenee.com.
And I'm at Dicey Grinner all over social media. You can find me on my website, DiceyGrinnerBooks.com.
See you next week for Sex and Horror.